Please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5, verse 19 will be the text that we will use as we think about Jesus and the songs of heaven. In recent weeks, from different perspectives, our focus has been upon the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we will be looking at the last book of the Bible, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And we read as a text one of the many songs. And the songs in the Revelation are either to be sung or said. And so that leaves none of you out. You say, well, I can't sing. Well, you can say. Praises can be said or sung. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Father, we bless you for the last book, the last chapters. We not only know how things began, but we know how things will climax so far as this earth and history is concerned, and we know what lies ahead for all eternity for the child of God. Father, we are in difficult times, increasingly so, and we bless you for the message that we will receive from the last book of the Bible to instruct us and to encourage our hearts. And for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you turn to the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in most places it would just be considered a religious tale, not relevant, pie in the sky, something that just doesn't deal with reality. But if you have ears to hear, we are looking at the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, some 20 plus times noted in the Revelation as the Lamb, even though now in heaven and ruling and reigning for all eternity, he will always be seen as the Lamb. We would be well to be reminded when it comes to the Word of God, it's all good. But there is a special blessing in the reading of the last book, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In the Revelation, we see revealed Jesus Christ as he is today. And we see revealed the ultimate purpose of the journey of Jesus on this earth. And if I was such a person that I had never seen a car, didn't know what a car was, and I was taken to the Nissan plant in the Murfreesboro area and brought in at the beginning part, and I see stacks of metal and all different sizes and plastic and different things, and I would wonder, what on earth? What is this all about? But if they immediately whisked me all the way to the other end and I saw a shiny new car and someone drove and they let me ride in it and they said, this is what it can do. Now I go back to the other end, and all the in-between makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of things that don't appear to make a lot of sense right now. Don't forget the last chapters. Amen. Don't forget the last book. And so what is God's ultimate purpose? So let's turn to some of the verses in the last chapters. Chapter 19, verse 6, the latter part of verse 6. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage of the Lamb. Chapter 21, verses 2 through 4. And I, John, saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor any pain, for the former things are passed away. Chapter 21, verse 9, and a few verses thereafter. Come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he sees this great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, and the glory of God, and there are 12 gates, and on the 12 gates are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, and there are 12 foundations, and in them are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so the bride represents all the redeemed of all time, Old Testament era and New Testament. And then in chapter 22, the last book, and there is a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side, tree of life. Verse 3, and there is no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and shall see his face, and they shall reign with him forever and ever. From all of human history, when it's all said and done, all that is left is a bride. The redeemed of all ages, a numberless multitude out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and people who will rule and reign with Christ for all eternity. What else matters? If that's all that's left. If that's the ultimate purpose of history. Now, I majored in history in college, and it was never even hinted that such was the purpose of history. Christian college, of course. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. In that wonderful passage, and I'll read it drawing from some additional translations as well. And he's in a wonderful passage of praise. We're breaking at verse 9. Having made known unto us believers, the mystery of his will, something hidden in the past made known now. The hidden purpose of his will. God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan. All over America and the world, Christians are turning to the news media, written and printed and spoken, trying to figure out what's coming, what's going on, what's the purpose, what's going to happen. And we're wringing our hands because we're afraid this is going to happen and that's going to happen, something else is going to happen. They don't know. But God knows. And he has revealed to his children the mystery of his plan, the hidden purpose of his plan. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, the Weymouth translation, which you may never have heard of, but sort of is a real amplification, says, for the government of the world, when the times are ripe for it, the purpose which he has cherished in his own mind of restoring the whole creation to find its one head in Christ. The Phillips paraphrase says that all human history shall be consummated in Christ, when he shall make everything center in him. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now we know that when sin came, destruction came, and disharmony came, and chaos followed. But even so, Going back through history, at just the right time, Jesus came. And he personally, totally defeated sin and Satan. He paid the sin debt of sinners. He arose, he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. And for 2,000 years, he has been seeking and saving the lost. The darkness of sin and Satan and humans have never been able to stop Jesus from doing that. And they never will. And at just the right time, Jesus will bring in a new heaven and a new earth. All human history shall be consummated in Christ. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess it. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's never been defeated by any of his opposition. Again, we know that the whole world lies in the evil one, and there's a Babylon spirit of greed and get and arrogance that pervades the world religiously, educationally, socially, politically, all over. But when you read Revelation chapter 17 and 18, that entire system is going to disintegrate. Judgment is coming. Religious Babylon will be destroyed at God's command as he raises up kings and kingdoms to do it. And then there is this repeated phrase in chapter 18, this materialistic world that is so easy for us to get caught up in 1 hour, it's gone. 1 hour, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. As Hebrews 12:25 through 29 tells us, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. What do you have that can't be shaken? Jesus, as he is today, Jesus, as to what he's doing today and what he will be doing, as we scan the whole Bible, that's what it's about. And especially as we scan the Revelation, we find that Jesus is central. He's not an appendage. He's not a figment of imagination. He's not some theory. If you believe the Word of God, Jesus Christ is central. He's preeminent. And what he is doing is the issue. Are you nervous and afraid? Let's be honest. We're human. And we live so much of our thinking in our life in this present world as if this present world is the issue. And so we are very concerned about what this political party is going to do and what this one's going to do and what this fanatic is going to do and do we dare get on a plane again and whatever. Nervous. Because we think that what man is doing is the issue. Well, here's what God is doing. Here's what Jesus is doing. Here's a summary of Revelation 1 through 19. The sovereign Lamb of God is in heaven, working through his blood-bought, redeemed on earth by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives within them. I just summarized 19 chapters. There's a lot of other sideshows. But that's the thing that's going on. You say, but I think the church is going to be raptured out and then the 7 years. But during that, if that system is right, during that 7 years, everybody agrees that during that time, that Jews, many Jews will be saved. They'll be saved by the same blood of Jesus. There's only one way of salvation. And so the first 19 chapters, the sovereign Lamb is in heaven, working through his blood bought, redeemed on earth, who are indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And nothing can stop it. David Fowler of the Family Action Council of Tennessee just published an article. A friend of mine sent it to me, titled, the end of Christianity as we know it. I understand what he's saying. We're losing freedoms left and right. We may lose some more. But what he says in that, well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But regardless, nothing can hit the news. Nothing can happen that will alter this supreme reality. Jesus is sending out his saints around the world to make disciples. How long is he going to do that? Have you read what we call the Great Commission? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you until times get rough. What? I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And if he is with you, dear child of God, you can go forth in boldness, because whether you live or whether you die, you are the Lord's. Amen. And we've got work to do. We must not allow the stuff of the headlines to get us off track. I remember back way back years ago when I was in Hartsville, that was over 40 years ago now, and we were going through some sort of gas crisis or something, and we were trying to do something at the church I was pastoring, and the people, well, but we can't do this because we're in an economic crisis. Well, God's not in a crisis, and I was not trying to get them to spend a bunch of money. I was just saying, we need to go forward with the kingdom's work. What does it take to get me off course from kingdom work? Let's look at Revelation 4 through 19 again. The sovereign Lamb of God is in heaven, moving events on earth, kings, kingdoms, presidents, and dictators move at his command, or don't move without his permission. Even in this present hour of history, all events, Jesus is moving them toward that great climactic day when he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's in charge. Rome is not in charge. The Democrats are not in charge. The Republicans are not in charge. Putin is not in charge. Obama's not in charge. Whoever is not in charge, God's in charge. In the midst of all the workings of sin and wicked nations and men, in the midst of the events when God's wrath come upon wicked men, the redeemed may experience the wrath of men and the wrath of Satan, but they never experience the wrath of God. Again, regardless of what view you take on the details of end time events, whoever the tribulation saints are during that last period of time, they will never be the focus of the wrath of God. But so often in history, God's people have experienced the environment of the wrath of God. Seemed like Noah was affected a little bit by the wrath of God, but not touched by it. Again, Romans, Revelation 4 through 19, the Lamb of God, the sovereign Lamb of God is in heaven, moving events of earth, carrying out his good pleasure. This is all through the Bible. Psalm 22, God is the governor among the nations. Psalm 75, God is a judge, and he puts down one and sets up another. Psalm 103, the Lord's kingdom rules over all. Psalm 115 and 135, God has done whatsoever he pleased in heaven, in the earth, in the seas, and in the deep places. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. 19, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Proverbs 21, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever he will. Isaiah 43, God, there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I work and none can reverse it. Lamentations, who is he that saith and it cometh to pass when God commanded it not? Daniel, God removes kings, sets up kings. The Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and he appoints over it whomsoever he will. Yes, we make decisions, we make choices, we vote, we do all kinds of things, and all of that, but God rules and overrules. Yes, men and Satan may do this, they may alter that, we may lose freedoms, so much more. But nothing will keep the Lord Jesus from saving Jews and Gentiles. Jesus will still bring all of his redeemed home. This is an anchor for the soul, folks, in difficult times. Now, as we look at Revelation 20, verse 22, the sovereign Lamb of God is eternally enthroned, and his holy bride will be with him in the new earth and the new heavens. The supreme ultimate goal of all history is a redeemed bride for Jesus, comprised of the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb from all eras of time. The stakes are high, the war is intense, but Jesus continues to seek and to save the lost. It'd be a good time for us to remember Luke 10, 2 and 3. It's hard for us to imagine this, but again, we have to choose to believe Jesus and not our emotions and not our feelings. Jesus says, the harvest is white. The laborers are few. Pray. Now what does he say? Behold, I send you into the midst as lambs among the wolves. Stuff's going on. Bad things are happening. Bad things are going to happen. Okay. I'm not trying to minimize that, but we dare not forget this. Until the end of the age, until the end of this world, Jesus said, go, make, mark, mature disciples. Lo, I am with you. The harvest is white. The laborers are few. Pray. I send you as lambs among the wolves. Now, ministering in such a world is this, living in a sin-filled, God-hating world, wouldn't it be nice to have a little music? Have you ever thought much about the fact that the book of Revelation is filled with music, filled with songs? The book of Revelation is quite amazing. The aged apostle John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, forced to labor long and hard, God gave him a letter to send to the first century persecuted Christians, and the persecuted Christians of all ages have a special affinity to this book. To unveil Jesus as he is, to unveil Jesus as to what he's doing, to encourage them and to remind them and us that God will have the last say, and that no matter what seems to be happening in your world or mine, Jesus is supreme, Jesus is sovereign, and Jesus is sufficient. That just shouts through the Revelation. Jesus is supreme, Jesus is sovereign, Jesus is sufficient, therefore the harvest is white, the laborers are few. Pray, I send you, I'm with you, to the end of the world. And by the way, this book reminds us that joy is not the absence of suffering, but joy is the presence of God and confidence in God. The presence of God and the confidence in God. And oh, by the way, in the midst of the most trying circumstances of human history, when you look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 14, you see some of the fruit of those who heard the call of the Lord. The harvest is white, the laborers are few. Pray, I send you. Who are these people dressed in white robes? A numberless multitude out of every kindred, tongue, and tribe, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Your labors are never in vain in this dark world. But this revelation